Well, Russ, that was perfect.
Thank you.
We lift it up. As we begin our exploration today into this idea that we are to live wholeheartedly from our intuition and utilizing our faith, I want to draw your attention to the picture on the front of the bulletin. The picture of the geese flying high above the clouds. They're flying so high on their migration that the clouds below them completely cover the face of the earth. So the geese are relying entirely on that inner guidance, their intuition, if you will. And they have faith that when they arrive at their destination, it will be the right and the perfect for them. Trusting in our intuition and the action of faith in our lives is so central to the idea of wholehearted living that I turned it into an affirmation for today. And the affirmation goes, I trust the creative power of faith and intuition in my life. Let me say that again. I trust the creative power of faith and intuition in my life. So take a breath and claim that with me. I trust the creative power of faith and intuition in my life. Not bad for throwing one at you. Brené Brown is a social scientist. And as a social scientist, she was in the beginning a little uncomfortable with these topics of intuition and faith. And she writes in her book that she worked with these ideas for a year in order to understand what intuition and faith meant for wholehearted living. And she ended up creating two new definitions that made her more comfortable with these ideas. And both definitions include the idea of releasing the need for certainty. Releasing the need for certainty. Now, when I read Brené's definitions, I just kind of smiled to myself. Because after all, we are unity. And we have worked for the last 120 years with these ideas of intuition and faith. And then I realized that we are not much more comfortable than she was about including them in our lives. So her definition of intuition is, intuition is not a single way of knowing. It's our ability to hold space for uncertainty and our willingness to trust the many ways we've developed knowledge and insight, including instinct, experience, faith, reason. Now, that's a really interesting definition, and it's a great description of how we human beings grapple with intuition. See, we're often standing in that uncomfortable space of uncertainty. And being open to guidance is really part of the DNA of unity. In fact, it's one of this community's core values. The core value of spirit guided. That is our expression of the idea of intuition. The defining statement for that core value is we turn within for wisdom and understanding. We turn within for wisdom and understanding. Now, I think we unity people are very comfortable with the idea of seeking guidance, using our intuition. What for me is not so apparent is how we consciously use faith in our lives. You see, Brené defines faith as a place of mystery where we find the courage to believe in what we cannot see and the strength to let go of our fear of uncertainty. Belief in what we cannot see and strength to let go of the fear of uncertainty. She goes on to couple this idea of standing in a place of mystery with taking a risk of being vulnerable and the willingness to be hurt. So I sat with this connection for a while, and then I understood Brené to be saying that this idea of stepping into the mystery of faith and being open to being vulnerable and to being authentic is where we start. It's where we start. And this too is part of Unity's DNA. Unity started as an exercise in faith when Myrtle Fillmore was healed of tuberculosis. And our faith has continued through the process for the last 120 years. Unity has always affirmed that affirmation that we said in the beginning, I trust the creative power of intuition and faith in my life. There is a story that comes from the very early days of Unity that speaks to our connection, Unity's connection with faith. And it comes from the book by James Dillett Freeman called The Household of Faith. And I want to read a couple paragraphs right at the end of the very first chapter. And he says, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were a man and a woman of faith. In the word faith is summed up the story of their life and works, the story of Unity. Many, many times in the history of Unity, they came to a place where it seemed they could not go on. Yet they went on through faith. Once, Unity was in serious financial straits. Bills that had to be paid were piling up, and there did not seem to be money to meet the payroll. Ever been there? The Fillmores called their staff together to pray about the matter. And one of the staff said, let's pray that the money holds out. Oh no, whispered Myrtle Fillmore. Let's pray that our faith holds out. Now this simple story has often caught my attention. What did Myrtle mean by let's pray that our faith holds out? In order to try to understand the depth of that statement, I turned to the Revealing Word, a metaphysical dictionary of terms, and I looked for the definition of faith. And this is how the Revealing Word begins the definition of faith. The perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance, spiritual assurance. Okay, now I've read this definition many times before, and when I read it, I realized that I really needed to unpack the words of this definition to become clear about exactly what Charles Fillmore was trying to say. So, there are three concepts within that little definition that I read. Three concepts that are integral to the Unity's approach. The perceiving power of mind, the power to shape substance, and spiritual assurance. So, let's begin with this idea of the perceiving power of mind. Our power of perception is the power of our spiritual mind to choose what it will see as true and as real. It's the power of our spiritual mind to choose what it sees as true and as real. You see, each of us has a choice in every moment of how we live our lives and how we understand our life and the world around us. Now, for many years when I read that, I took for granted that what that was saying was that I had to accept what happened to me as reality. And then my personal spiritual work, A Course in Miracles, told me that I had a choice to see a call for love in place of a personal attack. I could see the potential of abundance in the place of fear and lack. And then Byron Katie enlarged this idea of choice to allow me to accept what, so that I did not have to just automatically accept what happened to me as reality. I could ask, is what I am thinking true? Is what I am thinking true? And I found in doing this that I had a choice in how I saw my life and everything in it. And having a choice made a huge difference in how I responded to things. So, the perceiving power of the mind is the power to choose how I respond, what I believe. Perception. Perception in the daily, in the revealing word is the faculty of seeing spiritual reality in spite of appearances that may suggest the contrary. To see spiritual reality even when things don't look like that. So what is my perception of my spiritual truth? I am spirit, a spiritual being. My appearance as a body is not my truth. I am created whole and holy by divine source. I am created in the image and in the power like divine spirit. So the appearance of a limited human being is not my spiritual truth. So why then should I believe the somebody training that has defined me as something less than what is my spiritual truth? So I choose to perceive myself as spirit manifesting. I choose to perceive each one of you as spirit manifesting. I choose to see all of us together as unlimited potential, ready to use our divine abilities to co-create something wonderful as we perceive it with our mind. The second part of the definition that we're working with is the power to shape substance. Now, substance is that energetic field of unlimited potential that quantum physics tell us lies underneath all of matter. In fact, I believe this is how spirit creates matter. It's through this field of unlimited potential. One of the clearest explanations that I have found on how this power to shape substance works comes from the Abraham material. And the following quote is from the book, Ask and It Is Given. And I quote, "Every thought vibrates. Every thought radiates a signal. Every thought attracts a matching signal back. We call that the law of attraction. Whenever you have consistently focused upon a subject, causing a consistent vibrational activation in you, it becomes a practiced or a dominant thought. And once that happens, things that match it begin to manifest around your dominant thought. Vibration matches vibration. A Course in Miracles echoes this idea. It says that what we believe, we perceive, and what we perceive, we then make real for ourselves. So we believe, then we perceive, and then we make real. The power to shape substance is a self-fulfilling process powered and contained in our spirit, our true self. The third part of the definition is spiritual assurance. And Charles Fillmore defines spiritual assurance as a deep inner knowing that that which is sought is already ours for the taking. Listen to that. A deep inner knowing that which is already sought is ours for the taking. So faith, then, is the power of perception to choose, plus the power to manifest through that unlimited field of potential, plus that deep knowing that it is ours. So when Myrtle Fillmore said, "Let us pray that our faith holds out," she was saying, let us perceive an abundant flow of good into the expression of unity through that unlimited field of potential, knowing deep in our hearts that it is done even before we can see it. So the question for us becomes not how do we define faith, but how do we work with faith in our life? So I was mulling this over the other evening, this whole concept and idea, and I fell asleep. You know, sometimes our conscious mind just doesn't want to deal with this stuff. And I woke up in the middle of the night with this following example dancing in my dream. Okay. You may have seen the movie Secretariat about the racehorse that so resoundingly won that Triple Crown in 1973. The movie, while made as an exciting story, largely reflects what actually happened in that journey. Okay? In the movie, Penny Chinnery inherited her parents' horse farm and training stables, she and her brother together. And as part of the inheritance, Penny had the opportunity to select an unborn foal from a famous racing sire. Her selection became the horse we know as Secretariat. Now, the story hinges on everyone's belief that the foal that she is selecting would not be exceptional, would not be able to win much races, would not have any endurance or any speed. But from the very beginning, even before that foal was born, Penny held with her perceiving power of mind the belief that that foal would be exceptional, that that foal had the potential to win the Triple Crown. She knew that before the foal was born. And so this chestnut foal was born, and she called it Big Red. And during the time of its growth and its training and even into its early racing career, Penny Chinnery used her power to shape substance by ignoring the many doubters. The many doubters that said Secretariat would never be great, would never win the big race, would never, ever have the chance to win the Triple Crown, Penny saw in her mind Big Red's successful racing career. She did not let those around her influence what she believed to be true. For me, one of the most touching scenes out of that movie came just before the Belmont race. This was the third race in the Triple Crown, the longest of all of them, the one in which endurance was key.